assume a concrete flux of interpenetrating intensities. And it was with this high heart that I approached the duty my government had called me to do. In fact, when young Peter from the Home Office approached me for the task in the smoking library of the Oxford and Cambridge Club, I had to confess to him that I hadn't actually ever watched any television before. One is so busy. But Peter, whom I am proud to say I taught for the classical tripos in 1947, took the view that a fresh mind was what the problem needed. It was, therefore, with the confidence of ignorance and the blithe cheer of inexperience that I sat down to my brand new Sony Trinitron to sample the broadcast offerings of the corporation. Violence, I need hardly remind a wireless audience, derives from the Latin word vis and its cognates, meaning strength. The violence I was briefed to hunt down, however, was a horse of a very different kidney. I shall keep you guessing no longer and reveal that what I saw shocked me to the very core of my being and disturbed me in a fashion that it is beyond my power to describe. Programme after programme, violent, harrowing, and potentially ruinous to the soft, impressionable minds of the young. The first programme I chanced upon was entitled The Late, Late Breakfast Show, presented by a... Well, no, it is no part of my function here to descend to personalities and abuse, presented by a personage, let us say, that I would rather never see again in this or any other world. In this programme, violence was done to all the canons of decency, respectability, gentleness, courtesy, taste, humanity and dignity that I have striven all my life to uphold and promote. All were violated in ways too savage, too grotesque, too degraded to delineate. Such an obscene orgy of vulgarity, baseness and ignorance I hope never to witness again. The young mind is being brought up on the idea that self-advertising, huckstering loutishness is admirable. Crude, unlettered bawdy at the expense of female dignity amusing, and puerile, benorsic posturing and pranksting entertaining. Under the motto, "It's only a laugh," waves a banner of such shameful, irredeemable crudity that the imagination sickens. If this, I felt, is television, then the violence it is doing to the sensibilities of our young must be instantly halted before it is too late. A subsequent stream of futile and insulting games programmes followed hard on the heels of this abomination. All week I was bombarded by violent filth. One programme consisting entirely of cut-up pieces of letters that viewers had had the impertinence to send up did such violence to this country's good name for literacy, intelligence, spelling, calligraphy, discernment and modesty that I feared I should faint clean away. However, amongst this mire of violation, ruin and despair, some redeeming pearls did shine forth. From America and from here, there were many programmes in which actors dressed up and pretended to be policemen or criminals and gave entertaining representations of fights and shootouts. Many a car exploded in a jolly and exciting fashion as part of this make-believe. I became particularly fond of a pair called Starsky and Hutch, who were forever simulating gunfights and beatings up. These merry, silly, romping, fictional diversions were, as fiction always has been, and always will be, harmless, instructive and charming. I shall recommend they be left alone, as should all drama and fiction. But the violence that attacks our young in the monstrous shapes I have already tried to describe, that I shall spare no effort to uproot, extirpate, decimate, annihilate and destroy. Good morning. Naked Children. As I was sweating away over the weekend with planks of wood and chisels, trying to recall the principles of school carpentry, a friend called in and asked me just what the hell I thought I was doing. "I have a hi-fi and nowhere to put it," I said, "and there comes a time when you have got to make a stand." And how right I was. There is a psychological crisis facing humankind which seems to have gone largely unnoticed. It is a crisis that strikes at the heart of what we are and what relationship we establish with our own souls. When I was young, really very young indeed, absurdly young, quite tiny in fact, my doting parents used to photograph me. On summer days, in the exuberant simplicity of my youth, I would slip out of my clothes like a salmon and sport brightly and nudely on the green. In my confiding innocence, I would wave at the lens, turn somersaults, and delight in the fresh, unspoiled loveliness of life. Like most master criminals, my parents were then content to wait. The years passed, and I entered that gangling, shuffling, blushing age which any day now I hope to leave. I began to bring friends home for inspection and to